Hebrews chapter 5, verses 11 through 14. Of whom we have many things to say, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Stop right there. Tonight I want to talk about a subject that all of you at one time in your life will be involved in, and that's the subject of backsliding, going backwards. Nothing is static in this world. Everything is in motion. Everything is moving. You're moving in your Christian life either backwards or forwards. No such thing as standing still. It just doesn't exist. It's just not the nature of things. As a parent, I'm sure those of you here tonight who are parents and have children, one of the blessings that you look forward to as you raise your children is seeing them mature and grow and develop in a normal type of situation where they become eventually mature young people. And that's the goal of raising children, right? To grow them up into maturity. And the same thing is true as a pastor. As a pastor, one of the things that is a burden to a pastor is the fact that he is involved with growing up his people. Now, in the physical realm, you know, all of us are in different levels. We all have different capacities. Some of us are smarter than others. Some of us are more athletic than others. Some of us are more musical than others. We all have different gifts at different levels within these gifts. And I used to teach school, and I learned that when a student got to a certain point, say in math or something, they bottomed out. That's it. You don't go any further. You just branch off into something else, but you don't go any further in that one area, because that's as far as they can go. And same way athletically. I mean, everybody wants to be in the major leagues. Everybody wants to be a superstar. But there are certain people, no matter how hard they would ever try, they never can meet that standard because they just don't have the inherent tools to do it. But in the spiritual realm, it's a totally different situation. You ever think about this? In the spiritual realm, there is no point of cutoff. I think there are certain athletes that get to the point where they just kind of, they get to their zenith where they're the best. And that's it. They just can't go any further. I mean, they just have worked themselves to a place where they're at their peak. And that's it. From there, it's downhill. But in the Christian life, it's totally different. You never reach a peak. You never stop growing. You can either keep growing or you can go back. And you can't stand still. Can't do it. And so as the writer of Hebrews here is in the middle of this discourse about Melchizedek, he finally realizes in the middle of this discourse, hey, I can't even talk about this subject right now because these people I'm addressing this letter to don't even have the capacity to take in what I want to say to them. That's frustrating. When you want to communicate something to somebody and they don't have the capacity to accept it, it's beyond them. They can try, but they can't absorb it. That was his situation here. I wanted to read a scripture in relation to growing as Christians that I mentioned earlier. It says in 2 Peter, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Is there anybody in here that has all the faith that you want to have? No? Add to your faith virtue. Are all of you as virtuous as you ever should be or want to be? No, you can keep going. How about knowledge? Have you learned all the knowledge of God that you want to learn or you should learn? No. Temperance, patience, godliness, kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So, in the Christian life, there is no point at which you have arrived. There is certain levels of maturity, but nobody has ever arrived. For example, let me give you an example. If you've ever read, how many of you have read the sermons of Charles Spurgeon? Okay. If you read a sermon by him, if you're a preacher, you want to quit preaching. Because he is just phenomenal. When you read one of his sermons, you just say, how can anybody preach like that? It's like an orator, but he just knows the Bible from one end to the other, and he puts everything just in the right place, and he makes sense. He's very convincing. He said he was the prince of preachers. You contrast that with, say, somebody like D.L. Moody. Some people say, well, he's so crude, he shouldn't even be in the ministry. But he swayed a whole continent. Not because he was exceptionally gifted, or not because he was more gifted than Spurgeon. He was way down here when Spurgeon was way up here. What's the difference? It's that God used him. I can do all things through Christ. So no matter what your talent level is, you never reach your peak of performance because you aren't the one that accomplishes it anyway. It's Christ in you. So there's no boundaries. Even if you're a one-talent person, a two-talent person, comparing yourself with a ten-talent person, it makes no difference. You never stop growing. So for a few minutes, I want to talk about the... before I do that, I want to do something else. These Hebrew Christians that he's writing to here had the problem of backsliding because, and if you look at in verse 11, it says here that of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. He couldn't say what he wanted to say because he said they had become dull of hearing. Now, the Greek helps us out just a little bit here. There's a tense in the Greek called the perfect tense, which we don't have in English. And it means a present state resultant upon a past action. Something you did in the past has resulted in where you are today. All of us, as we sit in this room today, are a product of the decisions we did in the past, we made in the past. Things that we did in the past. We're at our present state because of those things. When he says here, you are dull of hearing, it literally means you have become, in the perfect tense, dull of hearing. Because of the decisions you made a while back, you can't hear well now because of what you did back here. So we know that they used to be better than they are now because they're dull of hearing. They had become dull of hearing. And it says, and further in the scripture, it says here that they should have been teachers, and they weren't. As long as they had been Christians, they should have been teachers. So they were definitely in a state of backslidden condition. By the way, the word dull there is the same word found in this next chapter, verse 11, chapter 6, verse 11, where it says, verse 12, I'm sorry, that you be not slothful. The word slothful is the same word you had up there as far as dull. It means laziness, somebody's lazy or slow. That was their state as a result of the decisions that they had made in the past. Now, for just a couple minutes, I want to talk about the dynamics of backsliding. Remember, I mentioned the fact that nothing is static. You have a sinful nature. All of us have sinful natures. We don't have to dwell a lot on this. Children automatically know what it's like to be rebellious because they have a sinful nature. You don't have to teach a child to say no. That's one of the first words they learn, isn't it? That's about the first word a child learns is no. And they know what it means. They're not just repeating it. They know what it means. They'll buck authority. Why? Because they're sinners. They're little sinners. So we're born with a sinful nature. In addition to that, we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. He is totally bent on destroying every single life in this room. So you have a sinful nature. You have an enemy who's powerful, who knows a lot about you, who knows every weakness that you have, who's out to get you. Do you think you can afford to sit down and rest? Years ago when I was in high school, I learned a hard lesson. I played all three sports. I shouldn't have. I didn't like football, but I played it because they wanted me to play. I hated it. To be honest with you, I didn't like football, but I played it. I remember this one play. Somebody was running way up the other side of the field. I don't know why. Maybe it was a touchdown. I don't remember what it was. But they were clear up the other end of the field, and I was clear down here. There were some people with me, but somehow the ball was way up there, and the action was way up there. So I said, there's no way I could get involved in the play. So I said, well, I'll just kind of loaf up, run up the field, gallop up the field slowly, and you know, the play will resume up there after the guy gets tackled or whatever. I got blindsided by a guy who saw me just kind of loaf rocking up the field, you know, just and he blindsided me. Now, there was no way I could be involved in the play. I mean, the play was clear up there. He just blindsided me just for the fun of taking me out. And I was thankful he didn't knock my knee out. He did sprain my ankle pretty bad, but he didn't knock my knee out. And I was thankful because one of my buddies got his knee blown out in high school. He was a great athlete, and he was never the same. Never, ever the same. The reason I told that story is because to illustrate this. When you're going to get blindsided is when you start resting in your Christian life. That's when people start backsliding. That's one of the things that happens. So the nature of backsliding is such that you can't afford to rest. Now, I will say this. You can come to church and rest because this is a place where you get rejuvenated and you don't have an enemy that's breathing down your throat and you can be encouraged to go out and face the rest of the week. So going to church is a good place to rest. But don't rest out there because you have enemies and you have a carnal nature. Another thing, sometimes people decide, you know, in their Christian life, they go along their Christian life and they get to a point and say, you know, I think I'll plateau right here. I feel very comfortable right here. I mean, I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I'm serving the Lord, and I think I'd just like to stay right here. That's a dangerous fault. You don't stay right there. You can't stay right there. The minute you decide to plateau, you start going backwards. It's like the illustration you've heard many times. The Christian life is an upstream battle. And the minute you start to plateau and start to relax, you start going right downstream every time. So you don't stay the same. You can't plateau. You either grow or you go backwards. And the tragedy of the thing is a lot of times Christians they go backwards for years. And to get so far back to where they were, here's another thing. Let's say a person's right here. They decide to plateau right here. They relax and they start going downstream. And pretty soon they're clear down here. And all of a sudden, most people that backslide don't realize they're backsliding. They don't realize that they are there. But let's say this person suddenly realizes, you know, I'm not where I used to be. I'd like to go back and serve the Lord, so I think I'll jump back up here and take off where I started from. It doesn't work that way. If you backslide clear back here, then you've got to climb all the way back up to here before you even get started on your Christian walk. See, how do you know that? Because it teaches you the right here. It says, let's see, what verse is it? Verse 12. For when for the time, or because of the time, or by reason of the time, you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. You even forgot the first principles you learned clear up here. When you got clear down here, you forgot them. So now we've got to teach you all, we've got to bring you all the way back up to here. So another dynamic of backsliding is the fact that when you go downstream, you know, you really lose a lot of ground. It's going to take time to get back up to where you were. So the thing is don't backslide. I want to talk for a few minutes now about why we backslide. Why do we go backwards instead of forwards? Well, you know, sometimes people just get tired. They just say, I want to rest for a while. They want to become a spectator. Did you know that the average church has an enormous amount of spectators and few people that are active? It's kind of like watching a football game. I've used this illustration before. In a football game, you've got thousands of people in the stands who desperately need rest or exercise, watching 22 people on the field who desperately need rest. And that's the way it is a lot of times in a Christian life. You go to church and a few people do all the work. They're active, they're growing, they're maturing, and other people are just kind of standing around. Another reason why some people backslide is because they just don't have discipline. It takes discipline to live the Christian life. It's not easy. It's hard. Church isn't optional. Prayer isn't optional. Bible reading isn't optional. Some people can get up in the morning on Sunday morning, they decide, well, should I go to church today or not? Should I go to church on Wednesday or not? Should I pray today? Should I have devotions today or not? It's not an option. If you're a disciplined Christian, you just do it. Say, well, I don't feel like doing it. Well, do it anyway. If you live your life on feeling, you won't get nothing done. Because that's not the way you live your life. Paul put it this way. He says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. He says, I keep my body under. I discipline myself because I'm in a warfare. I'm in a spiritual warfare. Some Christians backslide because they develop addictions. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Some people backslide because they love food. Does that make any sense? Yeah, they become addicted to food. Food is what they live for. Some people backslide because of a number of things. I mean, you name it. It can be anything. Anything that gets control over your body, that has control over your body, is going to ruin you, is going to rule you, and you'll backslide. For some people, it's money. Pornography. Pornography is a huge thing in our nation right now, in our culture. A lot of people can never rise, especially men can never rise to where they need to be because of pornography. How about soap operas? How about romantic novels? If you're married, you don't need romantic novels. I know women who just read one novel after another. What does that say about their marriage? They're addicted to them. They backslide because something else rules their life. I mean, you name it. It can be anything. Some people backslide because they don't realize the chastening hand of God in their life. Now think about that one for a minute. Don't gloss over that one. Some people backslide because they don't even recognize when God's given them a licking. There was a verse on this I wanted to read. Yeah. Hebrews 12:5. Turn to Hebrews 12:5. Same book, 12:5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Now the word despise, not the chastening of the Lord, the correction of the Lord. The word despise literally just means have little regard for. You ever heard of the word oligarchy? The Greek word is oligarero, we get our word oligarchy, means a rule of a few. It means just to think little of something. It's not that important. And so God tries to correct people, and they don't even realize God's giving them a spanking. Now let me give you a rule that has worked in my life. If you know that you're not where you ought to be spiritually, if you face the truth and you realize you're not exactly where you need to be spiritually, and something out of the ordinary happens to you, you can say one or two things. You can say, well, just chance, I guess. Those things happen. Or you can say, God's trying to get my attention. God's trying to correct me. Now, I'll tell you something. The safe way is to take the second choice. I always do that. If I'm not where I'm supposed to be and something happens to me, I always say, God is trying to get my attention. You say, well, that's cruel. That's negative thinking. No, I don't think it's negative thinking. If I know I'm not where I'm supposed to be, he certainly knows. And if I know where I'm not supposed to be and I'm not doing anything about it, he's going to do something about it. He's my father. I know Christians who God has taken to the woodshed over and over and over again, and they don't even know what's happening. They don't even realize that God's doing it. We know there's people in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 who God even had to take out of this world. They never got it. They never realized what was going on. So that's another reason why people backslide, is because God tries to get their attention. They're hardened. They're callous. They think little of discipline. They don't think God even cares that much or something. I don't know what it is. I mean, surely God cares for us. He's our Father. He cares. I cared for my children. I'm a man. I'm a sinner, but I cared for my children. I spanked them. Now, I wasn't abusive. Well, I was sometimes. I wasn't perfect. But I disciplined my children out of love, concern. God does the same. In fact, if you're a child of God and you get out of, and you're without discipline, or you're a person without discipline, you're out of the will of God, you can't be God's child, because he disciplines his children. I could go on here all night about reasons why people backslide. I don't have time to develop all these things. I'll just mention real quickly. Some people backslide because they don't digest meat. Even though it's given out, they don't digest it. They get entangled in the world. They fall in love with the world. They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. All those are reasons why people backslide. Now, what are the results of backsliding? Well, when you're backslidden and somebody offers you meat, you can't digest it. You'll choke on it. So you can't grow. You can sit under good preaching and teaching. You can read your Bible. But if you are backslidden, you can't even take it in, because you're used to milk. You're down here, not up there. Another result of backsliding is it takes the rest of the body of Christ to constantly be burping, changing diapers, and bottle feeding babies, because babies have to be taken care of. So people that are backslidden, and it's always tragic when somebody's been a Christian for 20 years and we're still burping and bottle feeding them and changing diapers. It takes time. Adults are supposed to grow up, mature, so that doesn't have to be done, but somebody has to do it. If you leave a baby to themselves, they'll die. And so it takes time. Backslidden people lose their talents, or not their talents, but their gifts to other people, their rewards. Because they don't do them, somebody else has to take up the slack and do it. And other people get their rewards in heaven because they backslid. God wasn't able to use them. Another thing that happens when people backslide is they lose the ability to discern good and evil. Look at the end of verse 14. They have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. That's those who eat meat. Those who are mature, they can discern good from evil. Those that are babies who are backslidden, have gotten into a carnal backslidden state, they don't understand, they don't see things. They just can't see. You know, a child doesn't understand the difference between a pussycat and a deadly snake. You put a child on the floor with both those things on the floor, they have to play with one or the other. They don't discern any difference. A child doesn't discern any difference between a fire and maybe a bright toy. To them, they're just bright objects. They can get hurt. Why? Because they don't discern. They have lack of discernment. Backslidden people are the last people that know they're backslidden, because there's blindness attached with backsliding. There's other things attached. Envying, strife, and divisions are another sign of carnal Christians. 1 Corinthians 3, 2-3 says, I have fed you with milk, Paul says, and not with meat, because hitherto you were not able to bear it or digest it. Neither yet are you now able. That's what he said to the Corinthian church. For you are carnal, fleshly. For whereas there is among you envyings and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? So another byproduct of backsliding is carnality, strife, and envying. I know Christian homes where there's strife all the time. Shouldn't be. What's wrong? there's two carnal or one carnal person living in that home. And that's what happens. Envying, strife, and divisions, carnality, backsliding. That's a byproduct of that. All right, what is the remedy? What's the remedy? Well, the remedy is real simple. Look at chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on into perfection or maturity. That's it? That's it. That's all there is to it. Just leave one, go to the other. I'm not saying you're going to be all the way back up to where you were overnight, but it's just a matter of doing right. Recognizing where you are, asking God to forgive you for what you've done, and moving up. Now you say, you think we're all backslidden here tonight? No, I'm not saying that. But I will say this, there'll be a time in your life where you will be backslidden. If you're not right now, you'll be a time in your life when you will backslide. Because you have a carnal nature, and because you will always make mistakes. You'll get into a little rut or something, and you'll go back for a while. Everybody's going to go back a little bit once in a while. But you should eventually, you should keep going up. What we want to do, we don't want to go this. We don't go down here and stay here. We want to, keep moving up. It's kind of like the stock market. You see these charts, they make a stock market. Hopefully your stock is, takes some dives and stuff, but it keeps going up, hopefully. That's what it's supposed to do. And that's what the Christian life is supposed to be like. Let us, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Nobody can get you off of milk. You have to get yourself off of milk. And you have to get on to meat. You could feed a baby milk. Just keep feeding it milk and it'd just stay a baby. It would never develop. Probably live for a long time. But it wouldn't develop. Because you can't develop muscles and maturity on milk. And a lot of churches, that's all they feed their people's milk. And that's why people go there. Because they like milk. They like that bottle. They like somebody to wipe them. Excuse me. and take care of them. Because they're babies. Didn't mean to say it that way. Sorry. But that's what babies are like. Paul put it this way. This is what he was talking about. He said, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's a good formula for getting away from backsliding, getting out of a rut. All right, as I said earlier, as a parent, we want all of our children to develop normal, mature, healthy lives. And as a pastor, Pastor Josh and Pastor Ben and I, we want to our people to grow and mature. And that's why we brood over our people. When you come here, and if we detect that you're getting away from the Lord a little bit, we're not going to just watch you go down that road. We're going to step in and try to encourage you and help you and get you corrected, get you back on the road like you need to be. And so we're not going to just let you be spectators here. We want you to grow. We want you to mature. We want you to be involved. We don't want to... And by the way, according to Hebrews chapter 13, did you know that I have to give an account for you someday? Just like some fathers have to give account for their children and mothers have to give account, I have to give an account for you. That's literally true. I have to stand before God and I have to give it. That means I have to not only be accountable for taking care of you, but I also have to tell the Lord where you were, what you did. We're going to judge angels someday. And pastors have to judge their flock. I have to do that. So I want to invest. I have a lot invested in you. All the pastors in the church have investments in you. We want to see you grow. We want to see you develop. We don't want to have a sad day on that day. So, Paul put it in here for some reason. It must be something we need. It's not a very pleasant subject to talk about. But I'll guarantee you, you'll meet backslidden Christians someday in your life, and you'll do that yourself from time to time. Just don't stay there. That's where the sin's involved. Okay.